Okay, guys. Good morning. I am going to sing a little song this morning for you, and I hope you don't leave me hanging. If you know it, I want you to sing along, okay? My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. I'm so glad that you know that song. We aren't going to do that part. It gets too high for me. We sing this song. I learned this song when I was a little girl, probably in Sunday school. My mom loved to have us kids sing. She has little cassette tape recordings of me and my siblings singing songs, and she would send them on to our grandparents. But we learned this song at a young age, and for many of you who knew that, who were singing along with me, I'm guessing you've known that song for quite some time, right? We sing that song, and I think that we believe the words that we're singing, that our God is so big, he's so strong, he's so mighty, there's nothing that he cannot do. And yet I wonder sometimes, I know that I struggle from time to time, just in the day to day, do I actually remember? Do I believe? When life happens, when things are thrown at me, in those moments, do I remember the greatness of my God? Sometimes I forget just how big and how strong and how mighty he is. That the mountains are his, the rivers are his, the stars are his handiwork too. See, I didn't sing it, we just said it. And that he made you, that he made me. And it wasn't a chance, it wasn't an accident. And I know we know that up here, but sometimes we forget it in here. That we were made on purpose and for a purpose. Over the course of this year, we are going to go through the major stories and themes of the Bible, the major teachings from beginning to end. And we're going to do this because we need to know what we believe. We need to know why we believe it. And we need to know what the Word of God says to us. I want us to be a church that knows the Bible well and allows it to teach us. So this morning, we're going to start right at the beginning with our great big God in the event of creation. We're going to be starting from chapter 1 of the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis. But I want to begin by asking you some questions that you can be thinking about as we go through the message this morning. First, what does creation teach us about God and us? Creation, these 6 days where God created everything, what significance does that have in my life? Is there anything theological, right? What we can know about God in this first chapter of the Bible? Or is it just a chapter, you know, to incite arguments over science? How is this possible? Giving reasons and proofs and so on. I want to begin with this statement that the whole Bible, from beginning to end, is theological. It is a story about God and how he relates to his creation. It is not theoretical. Its main point is not to prove anything to us scientifically, but the first and foremost point of the Word of God is to teach us more about him and how he relates to us. So while we could spend today talking about all of the scientific things going on in Genesis chapter 1, you know, was it actually 6 24-hour time periods that took place in the days of creation? Was it rather 6 epochs of time? Was it just some poetic way to, you know, write about the creative acts of God? We could talk about those things, but I would be bored. So would you. And we would be missing the point. We're not going there. Because Genesis chapter 1's primary purpose is to teach us theologically about who our Creator is And it teaches theologically about what creation is all about, and to teach us theologically about who we are in relation to God. Genesis 1 is here to teach us about the character of God and his creation. Now, my son earlier brought me this pack of Legos. You saw him. He actually got this. He had a birthday party yesterday, and he got these Legos at his birthday party. And last night, as I was going through my message, I saw these, and I thought, oh, that's interesting. On the bag, you might not be able to see it, but right here at the top, it says Creator. Creator, right? And we often think, when we're making Lego, look, I'm creating something. Look at this creation, right? There are 55 pieces in this bag of Lego, and I'm not going to pour them out because then I will lose them, and Caleb will cry. But in this bag of Lego, there's step-by-step instructions, right, for how I can create whatever this is, some sort of a truck. And it's going through each little step. You're going to add this block. Now you're going to add this block. You guys have made Lego. You know how it goes, right? But what we need to understand is when I am building something, I am not the creator. I am just a maker. I am making something out of something else. I'm using things that already exist to put them into their right place, to follow the step-by-step instructions, so that hopefully, if I was building this, it's a big hope, we would end up with something that resembles the picture on the package. I need those instructions. I want to read to you a quote from C.S. Lewis. He says this: "This act, creation," is what he's talking about, "this act, as it is for God, must always remain totally inconceivable to man. For we, even our poets and musicians and inventors, never in the ultimate sense make. We only build. We always have materials to build from. All we can know about the act of creation must be derived from what we can gather about the relation of the creatures to their creator." We have to know our creator. We have to know our God. So let's begin this morning with a word of prayer. Then we're going to dig into Genesis chapter 1. Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you, God, that it speaks to us. And even when we're reading or studying familiar passages, Lord, it is never old. It is never outdated. It is never boring, because it is your word of life. So, Father, I pray that you would open up our ears, our hearts, our understanding, that we would hear from you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We do not get very far in the Bible, one verse in, before we get to something so great and so big and so incredibly complex that we, in our limited human understanding, we cannot fully comprehend, we cannot fully fathom this great mystery. It is the immensity of God. In the beginning, God. God is. There was never a time without God. There was never a time, there was never a need for God to be created. Otherwise, he wouldn't be God. He is. And our God, who is, who always has been, and who always will be, created the heavens and the earth. As we go through this chapter, we're going to see that the central truth is that God is the sole creator of everything. That God, and God alone, has the power, has the wisdom to create. And God, and God alone, is sovereign over everything he has made. And when we hear that, and when we see just that first verse, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth," we should be in a state of awe. Like, it should drop us to the floor that our God, who is, created everything that we see. A.W. Tozer, in his book, The Knowledge of the Holy, says this about bringing back the reverence and the revival that should flow from this truth that God is creator. To that end, he says this: acquaint thyself with God. To regain her lost power, the church must see heaven opened and have a transforming vision of God. The God we must learn to know is the majesty in the heavens, God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, the only wise God, our Savior. Caleb, my 5-year-old son, has a childlike understanding of the bigness of God. I love putting him to bed every night. We tend to have this conversation where he tells me about how big God is. And he'll say to me, Mom, God, he usually says Jesus is 1,000,001. I'm like, okay. Mom, you're only 1,000,000. I'm like, yeah, you're right, buddy. See, to Caleb, he understands the immensity of God. He understands that he is greater. And as much as you've seen, Caleb loves his mama, and his little world revolves around his mama, he knows that his God is greater. There's no comparison. And he is absolutely livid if you would perhaps suggest that anyone is on equal level with God. If you try to equate yourself with God, he will not let that happen. No, God is 1,000,001. You all are just, you're probably less than 1,000,000. Gonna give it to you. But in Genesis chapter 1, from verse 2 all the way to verse 23, we see God move in his creative acts. He is speaking everything into existence. Starting in verse 2, we're told that the earth was formless, it was void, it was empty, darkness covered the deep waters. And from that point of empty and formless, from the void, God begins to act. He speaks, and there is light. Now, I want you to notice here the immensity of God, that there is actually light before there is a sun. The sun doesn't come for a couple more days. But here God speaks, let there be light, and there is. He speaks to the land and tells it to produce vegetation, and it does. There's nothing impossible for God. Again, God is, he always has been, and he always will be. We are not him. In these first few days of creation, God is taking what was uninhabitable and making it inhabitable. In these first days of creation, it's all about God moving in the chaos, in the formlessness, in the void, and making it now structured and ordered and a place that can later be inhabited. He has a plan. He has a purpose, and he's beginning to work it out. That God creates from nothingness, this stood out to me in these past couple of weeks of study, that he creates from chaos, from a void, from nothingness. And he brings about beauty and purpose from the chaos. That witnessed to me. And it brought me encouragement, because the same God who spoke order from chaos, the same God who spoke purpose from nothingness, he is the one who can speak order to your life, to the chaotic things happening. He is the one who can bring purpose to where you feel like there's a void or there's nothingness. He is the same God who is here today to speak life to our situations. How big is your God? God can simply speak. The God that we've been worshiping this morning, we've been singing about his faithfulness, that what he has done in the past, he can do it again. That God, the God we serve, the God that we pray to, he simply speaks and the universe is created. How big is your God, church? We worship him. We serve him. We are called to pursue him. He calls us to love him. Do you know him? Do you recognize Do you give honor to the God who is creator? And do you trust him with every part of your life? Genesis 1 is here to enlarge our view of God. And we're only a couple days in to his creation. Days 4 and 5 of creation continue the pattern of our God speaking things into existence. The sun, the moon, the stars. Do you know that God creating the stars? It reads almost as a side comment. It's in the second half of verse 16, and it says, he also made the stars. Like, oh, no biggie. Just happened. This stood out to me because how big is my God that he would just speak and the stars would appear? I did a little bit of research this week and found out that according to astronomers, there are over 200 billion trillion stars. Mike, no clue how many zeros that is. Billion trillion. But that's only in the observable universe. And these scientists, they're like, we don't know. This is just what we can see. They have to admit that there's no way to count. There's no way to know just how big our universe is, how many stars there are. We can't know that. But God does. And he is the God who knows you. He is the God who made you. He is the God who loves you. And he created every single star with just that word, just that passing. Oh, yeah, he also made the stars. How big is your God? He knows you and he loves you because he created you. As you read through Genesis chapter 1, and I encourage you to do that, even if it's a familiar passage to you, I encourage you to read it this week and to see if you feel a bit of anticipation growing as you read through the days of creation. Because as you read through it, there's almost like a little buildup of he's speaking these things, and we've got, you know, the day and night, we've got the waters separated, we've got vegetation growing, we've got the sun, the moon, and the stars, and it's almost like, what's he going to create next? What's coming? This is exciting. What is the climax of creation? It is us. It is you and me. People are. We get to day 6 and God creates the animals to fill the earth. But then suddenly the patterns that have existed through this chapter of God's creative acts, they begin to change. And instead of it saying, let there be, now God says, let us make. There's a difference, right? Let there be light. Let there be a sun and a moon and a stars. Now it's let us make. Verse 26, then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. Verse 27, he continues, so God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. As you continue to read on through Genesis and you get to chapter 2, we're told that God formed us. I love this imagery, this picture. Man from the dust of the ground. God formed us. God breathed his breath, the breath of life, into man. That he formed the woman from the rib of the man. There's incredible detail about how God created you and me. And there's a reason why this is important for us. It's important because it speaks to your value and to your importance. That you are not a mistake. You are not a happenstance of creation. Oops, then that happened. Oh, look, people. You were created on purpose and with a purpose. We live in a world that is teaching us that in order to be valuable, in order to be valued, we have to be someone great. We have to accomplish something amazing. We have to achieve. In some ways, it's very subtle messaging, but in other ways, it's very overt. You're important if you do this thing. If you can rise to this level, man, then we will honor you. Then we will see you. Then we will respect you. Then we will give you some sort of value. That is complete garbage. And if you are listening to that message, I want to encourage you, and it is an encouragement that I have to give to myself almost every single day, stop listening to that messaging. Stop buying into it. Stop believing it. You have value. I have value because God made us with value. We were made in the image of God. Every person who has ever walked this earth and whoever will is made in the image of God. And that is the same God who spoke the stars into existence, that big God. We were made in his image. What does it mean? Because it's important that we understand what it means to be made in the image of God. First of all, it means, yes, we were created in his likeness, which means we are like him, but we are not him. I am distinct from God, just as all creation is. We were created in his image, which means that we reflect him. We are more than just flesh and bones. We have a spirit, just like God is spirit. And therefore, we have an awareness of the spiritual. We have an awareness of God. We have this calling from deep within that there is something more. Have you noticed this calling from deep within, that there must be something more? This is not something that just exists in the church, in followers of God. This is something that exists in all people. Why are people searching for something greater, for a higher power, for something that can speak meaning to me? Because there is something deep within them that knows, I am spirit, I was created. There is something greater. We were created with mental abilities, the ability, as we're told in Genesis, to steward the earth, God's creation. We were created with a conscience, an understanding that there is right and there is wrong, that there are choices that we have to make. We begin to see those choices lived out actually in Genesis chapter 3, when man made choice to put themselves over God. In Genesis chapter 3, the perfection that God created was damaged because Adam and Eve, God's created ones, created in his image, put themselves before their creator, and sin entered the world. But because God loved his creation so much, he willingly sent his son to die for us. He died so that he could redeem us, so that he could draw us back to himself. And for those of us who have admitted our own sin, for those of us who have recognized that we need a Savior and we have confessed our faith in Jesus and we have surrendered to him, then our purpose now is to bring others into that knowledge, into that spiritual knowing that we were all created in the image of God and with a purpose of making much of him. That is our purpose, of reflecting his beauty, of reflecting his love, of reflecting his grace and his forgiveness. To be in the image of God is to reflect him to people who haven't yet connected back to him. Church, for us, Genesis 1 speaks to our mission as a church. Our mission is loving God and loving others. To know that every person is created in the image of God, of our big, big God, we have not just an opportunity, but a purpose to love them, to introduce them to the loving God that they are searching for. This is what we are all about. This is the message of the Bible, and it is the message right from the opening chapter. Today, I want to give us 3 points of application because I think it's important to take this story that can tend to be a very familiar story. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And I think we need to understand why it impacts us, why it should, and how we can apply these principles to our life. For us to move with intentionality into the purpose that God has for us through his word. So first, I want us to be a people who move with purpose into having a high view of God. Again, how big is your God? It's the question that we've been asking all morning. I was just struck over the past couple of weeks as I've been preparing this message about how easy it is for me to make God lesser than he is. And it's not something I try to do, but it just kind of happens through life, right? When I'm going about, I leave Sunday morning, you know, we've just sung about the greatness of God. We've sung about his faithfulness. We've sung that what he's done, he can do it again. And then I go and something happens out there in the world. And immediately I'm confronted with worry or stress or all the questions of how am I going to, what's happening, what, And it's like in that moment when those situations hit, I kind of forget how huge and how great and how vast and how amazing my God is. And I so focus on the situation and the problem, it's like I've taken my big God and I have reduced him to almost nothing. Church, let's have a high view of God. Let's remember in our day today that our God is the God of the universe and he created it with just a word. Our God is big enough to care for us. He is bigger than the worries and the frustrations and the anxieties that threaten to overwhelm us. He is bigger, so much bigger than the fake gods of this world that just continue to try to bring us this counterfeit. Let's not settle for the counterfeit. Let's go for the real. Our God is so big that he speaks things into existence. Our God is so big that he is sovereign over everything that he has made. Our God is so big that he possesses all authority and all power. Our God is so big that nothing, absolutely nothing, is impossible for him. So I think sometimes if you find that you're making God lesser than he is, we need to move to a place of repentance, of saying, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And put him back in his rightful place. The God of the universe, the God who loves you and who knows you, who can sit on the throne of your heart. So have a high view of God. Second, church, I want us to be a people who move with purpose into having a high view of yourself. Kind of sounds yucky, right? A high view of self. Lizzie, what? That doesn't seem like that's supposed to happen in church. We aren't supposed to have a high view of self because it's conceited. It's prideful. But see, I'm not asking us to be vain. I'm not asking us to be full of pride or to be conceited. I am saying that we need to recognize that the God of the universe created us. And because of that, we have value. God created you in his image and he created you for his glory. He created you piece by piece, perfectly in his design. Do me a favor and look at somebody sitting next to you. Are you different than them? Yes. Celebrate your differences. Chris is like, absolutely, yes. Right? Celebrate. Love that difference. Because you were created on purpose just as you are. Having a high view of self and knowing that you are made in the image of God, it ultimately brings glory to God, your creator. Why do you think that the enemy targets us and attacks us so that we would have low self-esteem? Or a feeling, that we aren't enough, that we don't measure up, I have to achieve, I have to do more, I have to look, I have to be in order to value, in order to matter. The enemy targets us in that way because he knows that if he can get us to doubt our worth and our value, it is actually an attack on God. It is an attack on his glory, that he created you on purpose, with value, and for a purpose. Psalm chapter 139, it's my favorite chapter in the Bible, verses 13 to 18, says, "You, God, made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous, how well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me." Church, let's move with purpose into having a high view of God and a high view of the person that God knit together on purpose for a purpose. And then finally, move with purpose into having a high view of others. Not only were you created on purpose, but so was every person who walks this earth. And we, as image bearers of God, are meant to reflect him to others. We are meant to show others, to tell others about the bigness and the greatness of our God, that he loves them. We need to move with purpose in this understanding that every person that we meet is made in the image of God, and therefore they have value. Can we begin to see people the way that God sees them? Can we step out, even if it's uncomfortable at first? You know, the more that you do it, the more that you step out and you, let's say you go up to someone who's on the street, perhaps someone you typically wouldn't go up to. The more that you do that, you go up and you look at them in the eye and you ask them, "Hey, what's your name? How can I help you? How can I pray for you? Do you know that God loves you?" The more that you do that, the easier it gets. I remember that one of the first times that I did that, I was terrified. And all the thoughts going through my head of what's going to happen, you know, like, are there people around? Like, am I safe? Is this okay? But the more that I have gone up to people who I typically wouldn't, the more that I have gone up to that person who's holding up a sign, and I have looked them in the eye and I have said, "What's your name?" It's like immediately something melts off of them. "Wait, you see me? You're taking time to get to know my name?" And in that moment, something shifts in them, I believe, where they see and for a moment believe that they have value and that they have purpose and that they are loved. Church, what if we began or continued to have a high view of others where we looked them in the eye? "What's your name? Let me tell you about my big God who loves you and who created you on purpose and for a purpose." Our world would be transformed. Can we love others the way that God has loved us? Worship team, would you come? Have a high view of God, a high view of self, and a high view of others, knowing that the God of the universe, he is so great, and he has created each one of us for a purpose. Our God created beauty from chaos. He spoke, and the world came to life. He breathed his breath into us, and now we get to use that breath to bring him glory. Our God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing our God cannot do. Church, let's pray, and then we're going to worship our big God. Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that in all of your bigness, in all of your greatness, in all of your might, you look at us and you smile. You love us. You have placed value on us. God, I thank you that we can trust you. God, that we can move into purpose with continuing to have, or starting new, to have a high view of you, a high view of ourselves, and a high view of others. Ultimately, God, to bring glory back to you, to say, look at my God. Look at how great he is. So thank you, Jesus. Would you help us? Help us to step into that purpose today. We give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with us as we worship?